Although it annoys some people, if you have any friends or relatives who are capable of taking the vaccine, please urge them to do so. It will save lives, it has saved lives, and it will save lives. I wish you all a happy and a safe week. Be well, and please come back and join me next Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we'll do this all again. The technical net is formally closed, and AC2GS is formally clear.
AC2GS, give me 2BX, if you're able to hang out for a couple more minutes.
Sure, Frank. What's up? I kind of thought you might bring up our favorite astronomer. I understand he's running another scam.
Which one is that? I haven't seen a new one this week.
I forgot exactly what Avi has come up with. He either has a new organization or a new book. I lose track. I saw it about 3 weeks ago. I actually put it on one of my topics on my link page. But as most weeks, I never had the opportunity to touch any of those links. So he's still scheming to make a buck off of aliens.
Well, I have his book Extraterrestrial on my Audible app to listen to at some point, but I got a couple of books ahead of it. Hard to believe I'm retired and I still don't get to everything. it's an interesting character. Yeah, I know, I remember hearing about a month ago he did manage to get a paper peer-reviewed and out in one of the journals. Your reviewers actually accepted some of his ideas, but I don't, like you, I don't remember which one it was. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's more than enough articles about how magazines these days are accepting all kinds of nonsense. I just bought a book. I look forward to reading about the terrible human being who pretty much started the anti-vax movement for the 20th and the 21st century. He was a general surgeon in England who basically was paid off by a lawyer to fake research findings that would implement, would cause people to think that, I think it was measles vaccine, gave autism. And the guy's a real dirtbag. So I have this book written by one of the major UK researchers who outed him. Right now he has his license removed. Basically, he's banished from the United Kingdom. He's living someplace in Texas where they let such people live.
No wonder Texas is so foobarred. Well, Elon Musk is going to blow the south part of Texas off the map literally when he tests the BFR, so maybe we won't have to worry about it anymore.
Your connection is stuck, Frank. Frank, what happens? Why does your connection keep on getting stuck? Is it the cell phone? Is it the program? What's going on?
I really don't know. It's the second time it's happened this evening. I don't know why the iPhone does something weird with most apps. It works purposely. Anyway, the solution seems to disconnect and reconnect in a moment. Anyway, yeah, been doing, Texas seems to be the epicenter of all the crazies, with all due respect to any five land guys on the link here. Go ahead.
I tend to think Florida is having some kind of very sick contest with Texas. And I don't know if the person, if the state that wins really wins or loses, because it's not a good contest in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I think the game people are going to have a lot of fun with this one, because I think both parties are going to lose. It is not, as the game theorists call it, a zero-sum game, as far as I can tell. Anyway, just curious about another subject you were discussing earlier. Somebody gave like a $5,000 radio there. I just realized today that I've been licensed for 50 years this month. And I thought a $500 radio was outrageous back then. Anyway, have you been on 10 meters for any of our peaks? So go ahead.
No, Frank. I've only been licensed. I just renewed my license about a month or so ago. It came due August 11th. I've only been licensed for 10 years, and I didn't have any antennas for at least the first 3 years, so I missed sunspot number 24 entirely. I got the tail end of it.
10 meters, what happens on 10 meters is going to blow your mind in 2 or 3 years when you see the stuff you can work. I mean, you'd be able to work Florida almost 24 hours a day, well, at least for 12 hours a day. Ask Howie at the club meeting. I think in the sunspot peak 20 years ago, we used to ride around Brooklyn in his car with, I think, his ICOM 706, and we used to work Japanese stations in the evening from his moving car. Maybe it was with a 703, which is 5 watts. I don't remember for sure, but it was ridiculous. 7 o'clock in the evening after sunset, we were working in Japan. With a little antenna and a low-power radio, and we're beginning to see some good propagation. I worked 5T5PA in Mauritania 2 or 3 weeks ago on FT8, but on FT8 you can work the world with a dead band, with an almost dead band, so I don't know if that proves anything. And that was using a station, remote station. I went running about 100 watts to a dipole up 100 feet overlooking Long Island Sound, but, you know, not a superstation. But anyway, it's going to blow your mind when you experience 10 meters of sunspot peak. Go ahead.
I'm looking forward to it. I had one exceptional Sunday morning, just a sporadic e-propagation that opened up a lot of places, not as much as what you were telling me. But I was talking all over the Southwest and the Midwest, and finally, usually it runs from about 11 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock, I think at around 2:15, 2:30. I was just exhausted, and I was running out of paper of writing down call signs, and it gave me a slight flavor for the future, and I'm really looking forward to it. I want to have a collection of my own fish stories that I've heard other people talk about. I'm even curious about 6 meters. My antennas are not really designed for 6 meters, but as I mentioned earlier, my Palstar can tune a doorknob, so I can probably tune up something to be slightly resonant on 6 meters, so I might experiment on there as well. But I'm really looking forward to the sunspot peak. I hope they're a little bit better than last time. Last time it was a low amplitude dual peak. I hope this time it's a slightly higher single peak.
KD2OGB, doesn't 6 meters fall under VHF?
No, I think it's the high end of HF. It's in the eye of the beholder. I could certainly Google it and see where VHF begins.
That's what I was always thinking, which is why I didn't really want to do 6 meters. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. It's 30 megahertz to 299. But for all intents and purposes, when you get a, quote, an HF radio, very often that's why it'll say things like HF and 6 meters. It's VHF, but it's still something that a lot of HF people play with.
If only the weather cooperated, I would have tried to see who was on 40, but because of the rain, I couldn't. And plus, I'm on my, this is actually my day off today. I was listening this whole time to you guys. So, yeah, I didn't really have much, but I'm really just listening in and wanted to ask about 6 real quick.
Okay, you're welcome any old time, Craig, you know that, and we had a lively night tonight, so I hope you enjoyed listening.
Yeah, I liked listening. Just so you know, I'm planning on bidding out of Jamaica. I need weekends off again. I'm not stating what I'm doing because I don't need people taking advantage of it, so we'll leave it at that. And, yeah, I've pretty much been home all day. I mean, I was going to spend my personal at the picnic, but I couldn't because of the rain. But I had company over, so it's better to use it for that than nothing. Oh, well.
Yeah, well, try to enjoy yourself. You only go around once. I'm sure a lot of elders have told you that. So try and squeeze the most fun you can out of life.
Yeah, I guess you can say that. I don't really have much left to really say, Roy, so I guess I'll stick on for as long as you're sticking on. AC2GS, KD2OGB.
Okay, I went clear about 10-15 minutes ago, but Frank, did I leave any questions or comments dangling?
Not really. What you might want to do in preparing for some real propagation, if you haven't done it already, is get the computer logging hooked up to your radio and also to LOTW, Logbook of the World, so that you can very quickly work the guys and confirm them as soon as they upload their logs. I'm getting confirmations within a day that would have taken a year or two to confirm when I was a kid. I've got 46 countries confirmed on ST8, and I've only been on there like 10 minutes a day for about a month now, using a remote site. That's not all 10 meters, by the way. Oh, and OGB, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. A couple of weeks ago, on probably sporadic E, I worked CT3MD on Madeira Island on a 6-speeder ST8. And sporadic E is really sporadic because I worked him, shut down for dinner, came back after dinner, the band was completely dead. But it's kind of amazing. You really, the guys pop in, you got to work them, and then they're gone again on sporadic E. But, yeah, it does behave at the some spot peak like a high HF band when the F layer propagation gets up there. I have yet to experience that. And I think a half wave up there would be 8 or 9 feet, very short. Anyway, Roy, go ahead if you want to clear. WB2VX.
Okay, very good, Frank. I must say I'm not a good ham when it comes to recording contact. I bought a log book when I first got licensed. I don't think there's any entry in it. I don't have entries into the electronics. I don't enjoy, for whatever reason, just making a contact. I like having a conversation. I enjoy the exchange of ideas and opinions. And I enjoy the technology under the basis of the hobby. The record keeping stuff, I don't know. It doesn't seem to interest me. So I have no records of anything, unfortunately. But I'm enjoying myself doing the things that I enjoy doing.
You've been licensed for how long, Roy?
It will be 10 years and 3 days.
Oh, so you've only been licensed since 2011. That's kind of odd. I mean, you should have been around a long time considering how you technically did our science talk on the TechNet, but who has Dick been working with all this time before you came around?
Well, there's a long history to the technical net. As I mentioned before, he started it in 1982. I do not believe it was part of Limark at that point. He started it with a gentleman who is still an active amateur radio operator in Queens. He had a Greek first name, Hippolyta or something, so it was Hip and Dick, I think, the Hip and Dick Show. That gentleman had to excuse himself and leave. His place was taken by a very smart guy, K2KEY, was Mel. He was a member of my other club, Kings County Radio Club. Unfortunately, just around the time I got a license and joined the club, Mel was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he died soon after. When he passed away, there was a very smart electrical engineer living in Staten Island called John, KC2WDB, who took over the mail bag for a few years, and unfortunately he sick and passed away. And then there was that kind of empty space, and Dick mailed me and kind of said, gee, we could really use you. You could do whatever you want. You could do it whenever you want. And, you know, I couldn't say no. So I came on board. Matter of fact, I don't know if you probably weren't around for the first one. The idea was just to say that I was there, and you could send me mailbag questions, and I would read the email to Dick, and that was going to be my job. But since it was the first night, no one knew that, so no one sent me email. And matter of fact, Dick had a needed to go to an airport to pick up friends. So he left the technical desk about an hour into it and said, you and Paul fill the time for the rest of the night. So I got thrown into the deep end of the pool.
I think Dick made a very nice choice to hire you for the science and everything. Now, before Dick probably expected to become a silent chief, did he ever tell you, as his will, you should continue on with the technical net as the main runner?
No, he did not. I don't think that he wouldn't, I don't think he would broach that subject. There were people, because towards the end, Dick was taking a few extra nights out off because he wasn't feeling up to it. And some hams, you know, came on the radio and said, hey, what happens if you don't come here anymore? What's going to happen? And I think, I'm not quite sure, but I think the way that Dick kind of described it was I would be doing the science report and Paul would be doing the SpaceNet report. But when he passed away, I thought it was more important to keep the technical aspects of the TechNet over the science report. So we try and do both, but we always start off with the technical aspects, because that's what this thing began as. So I'm continuing it that way.
Yeah, but you also have all these other people besides Dick who were probably amazing experts, like Richie and Eric. And we needed people really to replace them eventually, considering how they knew so much as well, and even they made us make it this far, you know?
Well, unfortunately, that's a big problem. People don't supply their replacement parts. You have to be thankful for what you have. You know, I mean, Dick had 50 years plus as a electrical engineer, antenna design, 60 years plus as an amateur radio operator, repairing things, building things, designing things. Basically, I just read a bunch of books. So, you know, it seems to work. You know, I have a little bit of practical experience, but nothing close to what those guys had. But, you know, those guys are silent keys. So you're not going to get a heck of a lot of answers out of Eric and Dick anymore, unfortunately, except in the archives, amateurradio.tv.
Well, Eric was mainly our engineering expert, usually for, like, helping us get our towers up and running and getting the repeaters up and other things. I forgot what Richie specialized in when he was younger at the time, but I don't really want to try to figure that out. But, yeah, everybody has some kind of talents in them, but, you know, you just move on and try to fill in what they had before they went, I guess. That's really all I could think of.
Yeah, you have to make best of any situation. Supposedly, everyone's replaceable. I know I am. But, you know, I'm not quite sure who you're alluding to as Rich. Do you have a call sign or something?
Not going to bring it up. You probably are going to guess it. Just move on.
Yeah, I just guessed it in my head. Yeah, I think we should move on. That's a lose-lose situation discussing that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying these people in general had so much in them, and we relied on them for a very long time. But It was very unfortunate, though, to lose Dick. I mean, he was probably the biggest one out of everybody, but all we could really do is just keep the net going with whoever we have left. That's all you can do.
Yes, as I said before, make best out of a difficult situation. Life is transient. We're all going to shuffle off this coil. We're all going to be silent keys after a while. What I do on Sunday nights will instill the curiosity of other people to listen to what I say and to look stuff up and to learn things for themselves. And maybe someday they'll be the smart ass out there who answers all the damn questions. So, you know, I can only hope.
We've asked millions and millions and millions of questions, Roy. Even I probably lost track on how many have probably been answered, considering that I haven't really been a ham for that long. If I got my ham probably in my childhood days, I probably would have been better to understand this stuff as I grew older. I've only been into it for, like, almost 4 years now, and I'm still learning. Nobody ever stops learning. You just keep learning new things.
Hopefully. Now, there's a few people who decided to stop learning, and they seem to be very proud about it. I was fortunate. I was a shortwave listener as a kid, and in high school, I got myself a copy of the ARRL radio handbook, and I read it from cover to cover. So I had a pretty good basic foundation of electronics in general. In college, I took, I was a chemistry major, and I took physics courses as well, and so that helped as well. So I never really applied it to amateur radio because I could never find the time to learn Morse code. And then suddenly, 11 years ago, I found out that during the long pause, they had done away with all the Morse code requirements. And I said to myself, gee, might as well fulfill a childhood wish. And so I studied up on the question pools and went over to a very nice group of people in Yonkers who give VE tests almost all the time, and got my license.
Maybe did you wait later in life to get your license rather than earlier, considering how it was trickier with code being in play? Because you don't need to know that anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to allude to. Now I don't have to study for the Morse code. All I have to do, I knew the electronic theory, because thankfully electronic theory doesn't change even in 30, 40 years. I just had to brush up on the regulations and such, which are subject to change over long periods of time and tend to be arbitrary. But it wasn't a problem. It took me about 3-4 weeks. I was good for it.
It would have been nice if you came into play maybe a little bit sooner, like probably like, I don't know, late 2000, something like that, or maybe like a few years after the TechNet came into play, because then you would have probably gained a lot more knowledge and experience over time as far as how much knowledge Dick had at the time, because maybe you could have also participated much earlier into the TechNet.
Good evening, WACCDL.
Hello, Andrew. How are you? Long time no hear.
Yeah, I've been around, just busy with things. Don't mean to interrupt, because it's a good conversation. But I wanted to ask you a question, or at least give you some information, something that I'm doing some research. Because of a frustration, I'll tell you about it if you want to hang in here. And talking about getting older, yeah, my birthday was last Friday. So I am a year older now than I was last year.
Well, congratulations. Happy belated New Year. You're a year older, but you're a year wiser.
I'm trying to be. But I will tell you one thing. In regard to the topic, there were many talented people out there that you know and I know that have a lot of experience and a lot of education. And I'm saying that because I know, Craig, you don't have to be too concerned that as time goes on and we move to the next life, that things won't just stop. Because, you know, look what's happening with, you know, when Paul gives out the talk of what's going on in space, you know, it is absolutely amazing what's going on now when you think about it. How we can, you know, we can actually send civilians like us up into space to get some experience. And that's what these guys, Bezos, if I'm saying it right, Jeff Bezos, what he just did with his crew, and of course Musk and everyone else. So there's a lot of good stuff going on. But not, I know that the repeater's going to shut off in a little while, not too long. But I just wanted to ask you a question, something on a topic that you might be interested in talking about, Roy, because I'm frustrated, and I'll tell you why.
Sure, Andy. Share.
Okay, it's a topic that you'll probably like, and everybody else. It's about battery technology, and where we are headed in that direction of the type of batteries that are on the market now, all the different chemical makeups and so on. The reason why I'm frustrated is, and I've been trying to figure out why, you know, I buy a lot of batteries for different devices, and I'm sure you do and everybody else, but for some reason, especially these alkaline batteries, when I put them in a device, and if I don't use the device, whatever it is, even a flashlight, I'll use that word flashlight as a device. If I don't use it for a while, and I open up the compartment, look to check the batteries, if I notice that the flashlight is getting dim, there is so much corrosion which has occurred. It's eating away everything inside. And I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, I understand the gases that are emitted from these alkaline batteries over time do that. But isn't there a way to prevent that from happening? Because actually, I've had equipment ruined by inserting batteries and leaving the batteries in there for a certain period of time. Have you ever experienced that yourself?
Yes, I've experienced that a great deal. By the way, next runaround, we should let the repeater drop for a little while because Frank WB2 VXO is on EchoLink, and we're not giving him enough time to key down. But alkaline batteries are infamous for this problem, and you really can't seal the air valve, because if you do, you add a risk that instead of your batteries leaking, your batteries might explode. So as far as I know, it's just the quality of the seal, and even the best manufacturers these days, you get a battery in, do nothing at all with it, and have it purge its caustic materials and corrode the metal all around it. It's just one of the things that unfortunately happens to alkaline batteries. Now, some people have this kind of false belief that one brand is a lot better than the other brand. I don't find that to be the case personally. But let's give it a little bit pause so that EchoLink can recycle and Frank can say what he wanted to say for a while.
Yeah, that's okay. Actually, doing some work on the computer here to be ready for tomorrow morning and suddenly realized, I haven't been able to get a word in here. I wanted to mention about the online logging. It sounds like you're a lot like me and do not like the ham radio record keeping. And my logging and QSLing was admittedly very poor. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch the other fellow's name and I didn't look it up in QRZ. I've been a ham, like I said, for 50 years this month. Roy, you probably know from talking to the guys in the KCRC, my eyesight is very poor. So after a while, keeping logs on paper just didn't work very well for me anymore. But on the computer, I can do it, and with LOPW taking care of all the QSLing, so I don't have to handwrite QSL cards or try to put them on the computer or something. That's really made it a lot more practical for me to do all this record keeping and do the QSLing and stuff. So if you don't like record keeping, online logging and QSLing is absolutely the way to go. In terms of the technology, I've been doing some research on that also for a project I'm looking into doing. And I think what's going to happen in the next 10 years is just, some people say 15 years, next 10 to 15 years, absolutely going to boggle the mind when you look at some of the things that the Starship is not the only totally world-changing project out there. There's just some amazing stuff going on that's going to totally, in my view, going to totally change the world in the next couple of years. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, not quite sure who you were turning it over to, Paul, I think, has retired for the night. There's Andy, WA2CDL. There's Craig, KD2OGB. And me, of course, AC2GS. What technology are you alluding to, Frank?
The one that you've talked about a number of times, which is the mRNA technology of the vaccine, which I think you've mentioned is going to result in some other medical treatments and breakthroughs potentially. And the other thing is a story in the news and there are other things also, but the other third thing that caught my attention about a month ago was that I think it's United Airlines, I think it is, signed a contract with a startup called Boom Aerospace to buy a fleet of supersonic airliners from them. I spoke to one person in the industry that, well, it's a Concorde reboot. And at least what I've read on this is it really isn't, because these airliners, if this comes to fruition, are going to have the range to fly the Pacific Rim and not just fly the Atlantic, which would, revolutionize travel. So there's just those three things, and I can't remember what it is, but I heard something else in the last couple of weeks also. So those three alone are going to change the world in the next 10 years. So go ahead.
Okay, I mean, you never know about that. So there is some technology that begins very, very, very promising and kind of fizzles out. Lots of things come to mind. Messenger RNA technology is an exciting field. It will hopefully be helpful in immunotherapy for cancer. It will hopefully be able to create vaccines for things that we have yet to figure out how to vaccinate against. So I'm very optimistic. It's not going to completely change the world, but I think it will improve the world somewhat. As far as supersonics, I don't know if it's economically viable. I guess it depends upon the general economy and the cost of fuel and how much people can spend on things. The old SST was a example of kind of excessive spending of money of people with a lot, maybe too much money. So again, it's kind of difficult to say. It could revolutionize traffic. Air traffic, but it could also kind of fizzle economically in the same way that Starlink may very likely fizzle. I've seen a lot of analysis of Starlink that does not quite make it as valuable as Mr. Musk would have you believe, for a whole bunch of different reasons, and the number of the saturation of the satellites and the maintenance of the satellites, and the fact that probably 90% of people internet get it to cable and are very happy with it and don't really need satellite dishes. But we'll see. That's part of the fun. I always, when I was a kid, would pick up the popular science magazine where they talked about the flying cars, and I'm still waiting for the flying cars.
Well, now I'm the one monopolizing it. The Japanese are supposedly experimenting with flying Ubers. That might have gone by the board because of the pandemic, but I recall hearing that a year or so. They were supposed to be experimenting with flying cars to fly over the traffic in Tokyo. But, you know, there have been other experiments with that over the years. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. The other thing, I don't remember whether it was an Avi Loeb paper or somebody else, a paper published apparently relatively recently, or maybe it's a pre-pub, suggesting that quantum entanglement communications faster than light may be possible. You know, before this, it was assumed that you could not actually transmit information via quantum entanglement. So that's going to be another incredible thing if that eventually proves out. So go ahead and pass it around to some of the other guys if you guys are going to stay on here.
Yeah, I don't want to lock other people out as well as I didn't want to lock you out. Quantum entanglement is a fascinating subject. I remember discussing it with people in the middle of the night on this repeater who kind of thought it was a theoretical thing, but you can actually do quantum entanglement in a lab experiment in any kind of college setting. It doesn't require particularly expensive equipment to do it. It is a spooky action at a distance. It doesn't quite make a lot of sense because it introduces a weird concept of non-locality that I can affect you without going anywhere near you or generating any kind of field disturbance near you, which is a real problem of how you deal with that. So theoretically, yes, you should be able to instant transmit information. We had a problem with terminology a couple of months ago because the literature suggested that things were being teleported when it was just information that was being transported across entangled pairs. But yeah, it's a fascinating subject. No one has the faintest idea what really is going on underneath it all. Even the math is somewhat obscure, but we'll see. So I don't want to miss out then anyone. Andy, if you have any comments or you want to go back to the discussion of alkaline batteries, that's one of the limitations of alkaline batteries. If you're going to use them, expect them to leak every so often. That's why all these little instruction manuals say, caution, if you are not using this equipment, please remove the batteries.
Okay, very good. All right, now I actually interrupted the queue, so because you guys were talking, Craig was talking about the TechNet, and I just jumped in here. Because I was listening in the background. I was just doing a job and doing something, and I had to use my flashlight, which I haven't used in a while. It's been sitting in a drawer, and it's a nice flashlight. I like it. It's a very nice bright light, and I noticed that it wasn't as bright as it has been, so I decided to change the batteries, and I guess not to my surprise, since I haven't opened it quite some time, there was a lot of corrosion inside. I had to clean it out, put new batteries in, a fresh supply of batteries in. You see these Duracells, and one of the batteries out of four was leaking quite bad, leaking a lot, has leaked over time, so I changed. I had to clean it. But anyway, I just got a little bit annoyed because it's a nice flashlight, and it's an expensive flashlight also. You know, when you buy batteries for it, it's, of course, you know, my fault for just leaving the batteries in. But, all right, so with that note, as what's his name said, all of a sudden I forgot his name, but he said, I will be back. I'm talking about the Andy's Corner. And you know who I'm talking about. I will return. All of a sudden, I forgot the guy's name, but I can visualize his face. You know who I'm talking about, so. When I get back from my trip, which I'll be going down to North Carolina beginning of September to the Shelby Ham Fair. Yeah, by the way, I guess you guys know the picnic that was supposed to be today was canceled due to rain, raining on and off all day. Probably know. All right, 73, and you guys continue the discussions, and we'll talk about battery technology at a later date, but that should be a nice discussion, too. See you later. Roy, and good to hear you again. WHCDL, see you later.
Likewise, 73, Andy, I think you were talking about Arnold. I'll be back. So I look forward to your return to Andy's Corner. Well, we'll keep it nice and warm for you.
Schwarzenegger, that's the guy, yes. You got it.
That's some good parting comment you got there.
Yes, unfortunately, all the extra Terminator movies kind of are ruining a lot of my memories of Terminator 1 and 2, but that's what Hollywood does to us all. Ruins our memories.
Sir, Genesis is kind of a similar remake to 1, but I don't really know why they had to make Dark Fate, and it doesn't really seem interesting. So, speaking of, now that we were actually just talking about batteries, and there's about 6 minutes left, just so you know. I got this question for you, Roy, because George brought it up to me because I was probably going to bring it to the picnic, and my finger's getting tired. Hang on a second. Let me let it drop. Okay, so my ICOM ICV-82 radio, my VHF HTs, I have the standard non-chargeable battery pack. It's got 6 AA Duracells, I guess, in it, or alkaline or whatever. And I recently changed it, and I did a slight bang just to get the batteries to come out quicker, but I don't know if I made one of the terminals looser that way, and now it doesn't seem to want to turn on with new batteries.
Okay, yeah, it sounds like you probably knocked something out of alignment. You have to take out all the batteries and look to see how they're interwired. Most likely, they're serially connected, so you have to follow the path. If you have a volt ohmmeter, things might go a lot easier. You can find out where the fault might be and bend the wire back into position and get them all connected again. So that shouldn't be a problem, especially with a volt ohmmeter. It should be very short work.
Yeah, the continuity thing, so I'll probably just wait till next time. If I need to, I could just buy another pack. It's no big deal. It's like, what, 30? And it would have been nice, actually, to see you at the picnic, but you don't really attend most of the events that we have. It would be really nice if you could come to the Christmas party, but I don't know if you'd really bother to go to that. But the picnic I really wanted to do today, especially since I was going to paint, but that ship has sailed with the weather.
Well, I mean, Limark, unfortunately, is not very easy to get to geographically. I live on the tail end of Brooklyn, which is one of the many reasons why I have to throw 150 watts to be heard on the damn repeater. So it's problematic. Actually, for a time, I was attending a lot of the Ham Fest. I even set up a little table next to Andy, WA2CDL. And I did a little presentation on 3D modeling and 3D printing of parts, you know, stands for transceivers and replacement knobs and all kinds of fun stuff. So I did that for about 4 or 5 HamFests. And I've gone to the other HamFests not that infrequently. I don't keep the meetings, again, because they're just not convenient. Plus, a lot of the club meetings are held on the second I think it's the second Wednesday of the month, which is when I do another TechNet on another repeater.
I can see why you need such a high amount of power just to reach even Glen Oaks. Technically, it would take like 250, 300 if you wanted to reach Selden or Plainview, but Glen Oaks at the minimum, you'd probably... 250 seems like a lot. If you were high up, I could probably do it with only 100, but it's amazing as to how much you can do. Midnight just hit on my watch. Glen Oaks is going to go out soon, so it's time for me to get to bed so I can enjoy my next 2 days off and then more pain and misery in Jamaica on Wednesday, and maybe in advance if I choose. 73 is Roy, AC2GS, KD2OGB.
Okie dokie, 73, I just want to add that in the old days with the old antenna at Glen Oaks, I could hit it with 18 watts. And I can hit Plainview's UHF repeater with less than 35 watts. It's just, unfortunately, Glen Oaks has a temporary antenna that's kind of blind to this end of Brooklyn. But someday, there will be a guy who comes up there to the roof and swaps in the temporary antenna for the much better permanent antenna, and then hopefully I can retire my amplifier once again. But anyway, we're at 11:59, the witching hour, 73. Good luck, Craig, and we'll talk again.
Certainly, and I'd actually would like to tell you what the biggest talent I can do is that I wanted to do at the picnic. We'll catch you later. KD2OGB.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater.
InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the WGL repeater.
This is the W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 o'clock a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
W2.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
WB2ZSE.
W2VL.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W.
K2KNB, WB2ZSA.
W2VL.
W2VL.
W2.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
W2VL. 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 Repeat.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2.
Good weather for POTA, huh?
Actually, we've got a POTA coming out by you. Sorry, I only got a syllable out of that.
Yeah, you gotta be kidding, right? You're kidding me.
Well, technically speaking, 7.
It's Monday.
Yeah, I think he's the other side of the border over there, Heckscher, Belmont, about 3:30.
Well, I mean, it's raining here right now.
82 LFJ, I'm on.
Sam, long time no here.
I know, but I'm here. It's not raining here in Baldwin, but maybe it's on its way.
How are you, Sam? How's everything? Wayne, to answer your question, even if it rains, we just set up in the car.
Okay, I'll wait for Wayne. Okay, Mike, I got the video. I just got a chance to look at it. It's nice. You do a nice job there.
How was that, Mike?
He posted a video where he was just talking about where to set up for POTA. We always debate on what the best place on the band is to set up for POTA. But he just pointed out something I didn't know about the slow scan guys, but I've never really had an issue. And it is interesting, the higher you go in the band, the less interference from the DX crowd in the afternoon.
I started to watch that video last night.
I was going to post a video of K6ARK had one where he climbed an 11,800 mountain, and there was some good climbing up at the top. I mean, it definitely got my excitement going, but I said, I don't think these guys are going to like it.
What'd you guys do yesterday?
I'll go first and then you, Sam. I cleaned. I spent the whole entire weekend cleaning projects around the house. It was absolutely fantastic. I got so much. I like non-POTA days sometimes. I get a lot accomplished.
Yeah, I went to Queens. My daughter took me to get a haircut. Oh, my God, gosh, I needed one bad. Took the guy about 3 minutes to sweep up the hair. I look like Santa Claus. That's all I did. Saturday I was at my son's. We had a actual camp. We had a little party. Welcome back home. Here I am because they met everybody. That's what we did for them. Oh, and Mike, my daughter went to the mountain. I don't know how. You really are a good climber. She said they were going up the steps. They're really short little steps. And she said they finally got up to the top and she was so mad. Her legs were hurting. Tend to come back down. You guys are too much.
Yeah, Sam, that's the way I go down. They are short little steps, I will agree. There's another way on the back side of the lake to go up, but it's not much easier. It's a friction slab, like at a 45-degree angle. A fair amount of climbing, but it's a little nicer than those steps, so that's the back way. And, Wayne, I learned that talking to Fodamaster that we met the other day that there are a lot of twofers. I didn't even realize that where we did Bear Mountain twice was a twofer because the Appalachian Trail did pass right near us. I think we were a little off, but not far, so there's a lot of twofers.
Actually looking at a map the other day trying to figure out where the Appalachian Trail was. There's very little of it in New York. I was kind of surprised. It basically crosses over at Jersey, across Bear Mountain, and then right over into Connecticut. And it bypasses most of the Catskills and all the Adirondacks. It doesn't even go near them.
But wherever it crosses the twofer, Bear Mountain, Harriman, and there was another one. And he was saying that that little parking lot, if we ever want to go up and do one, he said it's very doable. The signal don't get blocked because it's ground. He said, no, it's very doable. Parking lot, like this tiny little parking lot with a view.
You haven't done that one yet?
That was day one. We did Bear Mountain with Lenny, and they didn't want to wait. They back. Like, no. I think if they knew about, like, less than a mile ahead, we would be stuck in traffic for maybe 40 minutes because something was closing the road. I think they would have turned around and did it. But there's a lot. So, I mean, you guys, like I said, Sam, a lot of car activation.
Oh, my God. Anybody with a radio antenna on the roof? Yeah, no, it's beautiful. Thank you for the invite. Back to you, Wayne.
Well, if it ever stops raining, maybe we'll go there.
I mean, it's not raining here, but you're far from me.
Suffolk County.
Yeah, you're about 45 minutes from me, so I guess it is raining. Maybe on its way. Other than that, I'm glad to hear you, and I'm glad Mike, you got back out. I've been doing a lot of touring. Oh, and Vic still down in South Carolina?
Nah, Vic came back early this morning from what he told me. I think the trip started. Wayne, we're a red light go for the bike trip, so just pick a date.
Yeah, well, I don't want it to coincide with the lighthouse weekend either.
Whenever you guys are ready, I've got a few trips planned. I promised to take some friends up to Mohonk, rent a boat. So I set that into motion with my daughter, told her a day open, and I take some friends. They have a tough situation. They adopted a kid. He's a little a bit of a handful. So I always try and take them out once a year. Usually go in the fall, and you're welcome to come on the fall trip. We go full color up in the Mohonk. Welcome to come.
I have a problem child through my sister-in-law, so... As it is, I sit on my hands and grind my teeth when he's around.
Well, I won't share the story completely here, but Gus, I don't understand. For lack of a better term, he doesn't understand. It's not that he doesn't understand the word no. It's that if he wants to do something, at 8 years old, I think it was, I don't remember how old he was, he went into the store with $3, bought some candy. The store owner said, no, you don't have enough. So he said, okay, I'll put this back. And he goes, how about this? And he goes, well, it's a little bit more. And he's like, can you take a little bit off? I mean, he just got this go attitude. So he's adopted, like I said, and I think God gave him the right parents because he adopted from a father who was less than moral. So thank God that energy is directed in the family.
Good that he's not destructive.
Will exhaust you in an hour. I take them hiking. We do one that I showed you with my daughter up on Fontecue. We that one, and even then found one.
Yeah, Mike, I saw a picture of your daughter. She's very attractive. Good job.
You know, I didn't realize that I called my daughter yesterday, and I said, you know, these pictures, I didn't realize that you and I stood at the same spot in the same pose. I said, it's really, really funny. We weren't even there on the same day. We really are alike.
Yeah, I took a double take on that. You're right. Like, she knew it. She didn't even know you had been there and did that kind of pose. But she's really cute. And it's good, what's his name, Steve gets his son out too, so that's nice. it gets them to expose you. You never want to have life get involved in something good and positive.
My daughter, the paper tiger, we call her. That's what somebody coined her.
So tough. But I know inside she's not that tough. I just remember when we were kids, we were sitting in the mall in the court. She didn't get her way, so she was out to the doors, you know, the double doors. She's like, well, then I'm leaving. And she would go into the double doors in between the doors and wait. And then come back when she realized she wasn't going to get away. So I always joke with her. As a kid, she was so tough. But she's a paper tiger.
I know you were sitting there worried that she walked out of that shed. You know, how it may be dangerous around, you know. Wayne, what do you got for lunch?
It's all gone already, Sam. I had a turkey sandwich each. Very good.
That's good. I got some leftover Chinese food on broccoli. I'm getting ready to put it on now. Did you get a chance to get on the boat, Wayne?
Actually, no, Sam. I was supposed to go Friday, but I worked the whole day Friday, and then I just didn't have it in me to go out, you know, and I told my wife, and I told my friends who were expecting to go out, I said, I just can't do it, and we wound up going by car to Cedar Beach, which is Mount Sinai. There was a concert on the beach. Went by car and just hung out, you know, in chairs and brought alcohol. And it was much more relaxing than me trying to deal with the boat. Then Saturday, we all met up, like four couples. We all met up and went out to dinner. Yesterday was great because it rained the whole day, and all I did was, I never even changed out of my pajamas. I laid in bed, I was reading a book that I took out of the library a couple of weeks ago. It's one of my favorite authors, and I was...
Oh, that's nice. You need a day once in a while. You realize you're not tired, you know? So I got back home about 1:30. I changed right away. Put my pajamas on. And I just lounged around. And yeah, you really just need to... Hi, I'm listening. Can you do an essay? Back to you, Mike.
You guys are making me hungry now. I took out my breakfast, even though it's late. I got a late start today. Bugs are staring at me like... Aren't we going out?
I know. If somebody else talk about food, you do get off. I was going to tell Wayne something, but I don't want to talk about horses. But I just hit Wayne while we were talking. I put it in. I forgot all about it, you know? And then when I heard your voice, I remembered, oh, heck, it's in Africa, South Africa, Tanzania. And they have a 10-cent triple vector. Good. Because I played 8 horses for $12. I boxed all of them. I said, I'm not going to lose this day $300. That was a 50 cent. So I got $100. It's just for 10 cents. I said, I'm just going to box everybody this way. I'm not going to lose none in the race. I don't want to talk about horses today. I just wanted to tell you, while we were talking, I hit it.
Great, Sam. I didn't even know they had tracks in South Africa.
Oh my God, Wayne. They got about 4 or 5 big tracks, Wayne. I mean, and they take big, big money. I didn't either. I saw one, Kenderson, the other one. I didn't either. I was really shocked. And it came on at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I was up, but then I said, no, I'm not going to bet now. So about an hour ago, it was up to the 7th race. I bet on that, and I won on $8. And they only have 8 races. I just go for the 8th race. Yeah, but South Africa got a lot of tracks.
Yeah, I bet on Saratoga last week, and I lost. You know, I didn't bet a lot of money. I think I lost $20 over 2 days.
Yeah, I did too. I really did. Friday, I bet on Saratoga. Saratoga was hitting me pretty. Okay, Mike, enough horses. But you're going to come out with that crazy name you gave him.
Trust me, hear you talking about horses is good enough for me. All is good in the world that Sam is talking about horses.
I know it's my only pastime. And I'm glad you mentioned about a book, Wayne, because I went online to buy two books on to do the talking, because I ordered them and made a talking book.
They're good. They're good. I've listened to a couple of them.
It's really nice.
Sam?
I said it was really nice to listen to.
Whoever narrates it, if they narrate it correctly, you know, really, it's, you feel like you're there, you know what I mean? They'll change their voice, they'll you know, not them just just reading. They put motions into their voice. So depending on who narrates it, it's good.
Okay, I'm getting a couple of Sherlock Holmes with Mike Dillon, you know. They played a little bit of it, but they had the music in the background, you know, that... like that, like a creaking door. Yeah, I was telling them, well, come inside. Lady, you know, and I said, no, I'm going to buy the book. Okay, I'm listening again.
If I need to fall asleep and I'm wide awake at night, watch a ham radio video. Good Lord, you can take a 2-minute topic and make it into a 20-minute video. I'm out in 10 minutes.
KD2UDU, they do tend to be a little boring.
Guys, listen, Lighthouse, you all got permission to do Lighthouse?
How do you feel about floating, Sam? Because, the club is getting together for a lighthouse weekend at Horton Lighthouse, and we're sailing there.
I doubled on you, Mike. But Sam, if you want to do one, we'll do one close by.
KD2NFJ. Yeah, that's what Mike was saying. Call Lola or something like that. That's good. No, I'm good. I thought you were going to copy your radio.
Well, that was the original plan. Let's hope it, I mean, if the weather's like this, it ain't happening. But if it's going to be, you know, fair weather, then yeah, I'm going to sail the boat out there.
How's the reception from the boat? Have you ever tried charter skip from the boat?
Actually, I haven't. But it's got a 33-foot mast, so we could probably hoist a NSAID wire up and use that. I don't want to use just a handheld with a rubber duck, you know. I'd like a real antenna.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. You know, with the one I see in your pictures that you put up, tie it on the top and then pull it. What should give you a big advantage with the hand close by to block the signal?
Roger. That's what we're hoping for. I haven't tried it yet, though.
Am I right, Mike? It should be really good reception.
Well, really good because the water acts as a ground. So that's the advantage. But Wayne, I don't understand. If the weather's like this, you're not going? Where's your sense of adventure? Sailing the open sea?
Yeah. I would prefer it to be a, you know, fair weather day, so I could enjoy it instead of, you know, toughing it out.
Wayne, tell him you could just bite his face.
Yeah, Mike.
Come on, guys, we're men here. It's water falling from the sky. It's like 2021 here. It's not supposed to stop. I mean, you know, just sailing. I mean, you think about it, technically, Lighthouse Weekend would be kind of awful if they're setting up outside in the rain, but, I mean, I don't think the rain should stop the sailing. The stories will just be bigger.
Yep, I could just see Wayne with a raincoat on, that yellow one, and a rain hat, the water hit you, the boat tilted. No, I wouldn't do no rain.
Hi, Mark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the
Yeah, you can see Wayne, and I can hear exactly what he'd be saying.
A bigger boat.
I'm telling you, we got to go to Sam's house and set up in his backyard. bring out some HF radios while the weather's still nice and make some contact. Come out in the evening and the X opens up.
Yard is open. It's a big yard. I'm on the corner. Got a lot of property around. Just, I got some cranky neighbors. That's why I put my antenna inside upstairs. I made first bad out the window, back inside. My daughter just told me hang it again all the way out there in the attic.
Set the date, Sam, and we'll come out there with radios, a couple stations, and like I said, right about 5-ish, the deck opens up, Slovenia and all those countries come in.
Yep.
Okay, you and Wayne got a deal, but Steve said, Sam, we'll come if you buy the beer. Yeah, I'll get a keg, I would do that. Yep, no, it's no problem. All right, I'm going to take a quick pause, but I'm listening.
Sam, I doubled on you for part of that, but I wanted to tell you that George FIU has an attic antenna, and he has a really strong signal, and you know, talks, you know, HF all over the world.
Yeah, I told him I was the first one to brought him on the radio. I was the first one to answer him, and he had the answer, and then out the window. He had a problem with the people, put it on a wood rack. He had a problem and rolled him up. But I didn't know he had an egg, and I didn't know he was doing it.
No, that's George BCQ. I'm talking about George FIU. I think he's in Queens. And he's always really loud and puts out a really strong signal.
Yeah, I saw the pictures of it on outside, way up at the top window. Yeah, no, he really gets out. Yeah, he does. And me, I'm on here, he's doing tight. Can you join us? Hey, listen.
Hey, Mike, Sam, I went to lunch early. I got to go back inside. So I'll talk to you guys later. Mike, if you're really coming out, you know, stick to the radio. I get out of here at 3:30.
Do you want to join us? Because, like I said, he's planning generally close to your job.
You know, if you're going to be close by, I'll join you. It's just, believe it or not, it stopped raining. But, yeah, so, you know, stay on the radio. Or, you know, have a radio handy. We'll talk. Anyway, I got to go. This is KD2UDU, and I will be clear. 7-3, guys.
Okay, Wayne, 7-3. Okay, Mike, I'm going to get lunch, 7-3.
All right, 73 gentlemen, talk to you later. Good to hear you, Sam. Yeah, Wayne, I'll write you what the plan is. KD2BDW.
KD2KNH, can you come back with your call sign again, the radio check? I got heavy static and you're cutting in and out. You might want to try adjusting something.
Hey, how you doing, Charlie?
KD2 OGB, also mobile. KD2KNH and KD2NSJ.
Alrighty then. Hello, Sam, and hello, Craig. A little rainy out again. What can we do? Sam, hope everything is going well. And Craig, I'm sure you made out fine yesterday. I'll turn it over to you, then you can hand it back to Sam.
Yeah, I'm good. I just still got to keep taking the antibiotics until that's done. I'm going to call my dentist probably this afternoon and find out what I need to do to get this permanently fixed, which is probably going to be quite expensive, unfortunately, but there's nothing I can do about it. Bad enough already, I'm spending tonight at Dave and Buster's with a couple of friends, so I'll be spending quite a bit of money on that, too. Just for the hell of it.
Hey, Craig, okay, Charlie. Yeah, Craig, take care of that dental work. That's how something's next. I heard you yesterday, you're changing your job spot. I don't want to say it over.
Technically, I can, because I don't really know if anybody else at Limark really works in stations, but the reason why is because somebody can take advantage of me that has more time than me, And honestly, where I want to go, nobody wants to bid because of how far away it is. So I might be the only one to get it. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, hang in there no matter what. Is it far from you?
I'll give you a hint. It's where I spent my first 7 months, and that's all I'm discussing. Charlie, you know exactly where I'm talking about, and we'll leave it at that. Anyway, I am westbound on Sunrise Highway, en route to Carl Place Station, hang with some friends for a few hours. We're going to go have, I don't know, a late lunch, early dinner at Dave & Buster's, and then have a little bit of party over there. Play some games, hang out, do whatever.
Okay, have a good one, and stay safe, and good luck on what you're doing. Hi, Charlie. I'm doing okay. Just relaxing. Had a nice weekend with your kids and grandkids. I came back from camp, and we had a big party.
That sounds great. Glad to hear it. Yeah, rain put a little damper on things yesterday, but, you know, I'd rather have too much rain than too little. We can handle it. We've been through it many times before. Anyway, gentlemen, I got a sign. Back to work. You two have a good day. KD2KNH clear 73.
Hey, KD2NH, stay listening. Nice talking to you, Charlie. Okay, Greg, I'm going to take a break and try to get lunch. Okay.
Roger, roger. Good talking to you again, buddy. And we'll catch you further on down the log. KD2NSJ, KD2OGB Mobile, westbound on Sunrise, approaching Lakeland Avenue.
Okay, have a good one, David Buster.
It's a great place. See ya, buddy. KD2OGB Mobile.
W2OSR.
Hey, W2OSR, KD2OGB Mobile. What's up, Bob?
Not much. Kind of a little upset that we didn't have the picnic.
I know, it happens. I was expecting it to be canceled as well. But I'm sure we'll try another time, maybe in September or so. And what kind of sucks is I lost my personal from this. But what is it? But I had company over that day anyway, later in the afternoon, so it's better to use it than nothing. So I'll see if I can get something with weekends off, because I kind of want to take back something that's rightfully mine. Not going to discuss it here, because I don't want people that have more time than me to take advantage of that. So where are you off to right now? I'm on the Southern Parkway westbound, headed to Carl Place.
All right. Well, I was sort of roughly in that area, not quite that far south. I was in Greenvale. No, I had to return something I ordered for my wife. It wasn't the right size. Trying to get her a new cover for her iPad. And there's too many different models, and they're all different sizes.
There should be a compatibility check on a website. If you look at the model and you compare it, you should be able to know what sizes fit and what don't. That's why I usually prefer Amazon, so that way when I get all the cases for my phones, I know what's going to fit and what's not going to fit.
That would be good if Apple, in their infinite wisdom, would mark somewhere on the outside of the iPad or somewhere in the software for the iPad what model you had, but they don't.
If you look on the back of the iPad, it should say, like, iPad Pro, Mini, or whatever it is. Oop, here comes the rain again. Hang on. There we go. So, yeah, if you look at the back of the iPad, it should show what model it is, because that's usually what it shows on the back of phones, does it not?
Yeah, in many cases it does, but there's the Apple logo, some words that say iPad, and some writing that's so fine that even with a magnifying glass I can't read it, but nothing that identifies what it is. I finally found out I have an iPad 7, however.
Aha! An iPad 7. Well, I think you just gave yourself a clue as to how you can figure out what case belongs on it. And here comes the traffic here by exit 28. I gotta take the Meadowbrook Parkway, and I'm just about to pass the Wantagh. Hopefully this doesn't last too long, because I don't want to be stuck in this traffic forever.
Yeah, okay. Where are you heading, up to the Carl Place train station?
Yeah, I'd rather hang in Hicksville, because it's crappy weather right now. Gonna hang there for a couple hours, and then me and my friends are gonna go party at Dave and Buster's and have a little dinner there. I absolutely love Dave and Buster's. Plus, I still have my rechargeable card with me. I had my older one that had Crossy Road on it, and I transferred all my chips and all my ticket points to the newer one, which I forgot what it looked like. So, either way, it's with me, safe and sound.
Okay, sounds like you're all set up. Yeah, I think you've met Jim Meese. He only lives about a quarter of a mile away from the train station there.
Jim Meese? Who's that?
I thought you would have met him. Jim is the NLI, that's New York, Long Island, ARRL representative.
I think that rings a bell. I don't know if I've actually met him, but... Is he a volunteer examiner, or what does he do?
Well, one of the many things he does is volunteer examiner. He's only got about 50 hats that he wears.
50 hats. That's more than I can count. I'm wearing my good old, my star hat on my head right now, even though I just got a haircut and I don't really need it. And of course the rain stopped. Why wouldn't it? All right. I hear what you're saying.
Let me give you a little rundown on him. Let's see. He's a retired Nassau County police officer. He is still involved with the Nassau County Police Amateur Radio Club. He is the secretary treasurer for the Nassau Amateur Radio Club. I am a member. Volunteer examiner. Serves on the Nassau County Board of Fire Chiefs. Was the fire chief in Carl Place for a number of years. He and somebody else helped start up the Nassau County K-9 unit. Then we get into the all the other stuff he does in amateur radio. And it just gets to be overwhelming. Anyway, I just pulled up in front of the house. I'll listen for your finals. WS2OSR.
Seems like a mouthful, huh? Don't overstress yourself, Bob. I do the same thing. I talk and talk, and I just don't know when to shut up sometimes. It's all good. 7-3s, we'll catch you around. W2OSR, KD2OGB Mobile. Where are we? 25 on the Southern Parkway.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2BL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W-Tier.
W2VL repeat.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W-Tier. Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2...
W2...
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2 repeater. W2.